Hat trick for Zach Hyman. 5 assists for Connor McDavid. Solid night from Stuart Skinner. Special teams good. That was your breakdown. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to Got Your Back. Post-game edition. It's a late one. Thanks to everybody that is joining us live on the stream tonight. Or if you're listening to us in podcast form the next morning, hope you're having a great day. Jason Strudwick, Rob Brown, both joining us tonight to break down this game. And looking forward to it. Oilers with a 1-0 lead in the series. Coming to you from our long shot studio. All Oiler game nights during the playoffs are all you can eat wings. Yes, all you can eat wings. $25 a person. Now, some conditions apply, but you got to visit Long Shots Sherwood Park and join the watch party. All you can eat wings on Oiler game nights, with some conditions applying. And as always, our amazing show is brought to you by our amazing title sponsors, Sherwood Buick GMC. Just coming off their best month ever, sold 400 vehicles. How are they able to do that? Well, because their sales process is streamlined. Their sales staff is knowledgeable. They're friendly. They have stock, right? That means you can actually get people into vehicles. Can't sell that many if you don't have them. They know what they're doing over there. So highly recommend you visit 10 Auto Mall Road, just off Baseline Road on the way into Sherwood Park. Go see Phil and the amazing crew. Tell them Got Your Back sent ya. www.gmcpod.com is the address. Okay, I think we have Rob Brown in the car, and we've got Struds at his home post. Guys, there's going to be some late nights in the playoffs here, man. The NHL curse the orders with some of these 8 o'clock starts, Struddy. So late nights it'll be, but worth staying up to talk about this one. How's the night, pal?
Yeah, it was good. I was at the game, actually. A lot of fun. Good energy in there.
Yeah. The building was loud. Hey, Brown, you were inside there too, Brownie. That was different than regular season hockey, man. That anthem was pretty awesome, and the building was rocking tonight.
It was. Actually, I go down early to the games feel a little bit of the energy of the crowd. So I was out walking before the game started in the big crowds outside. It was crazy outside. There's a lineup, it seemed like a mile long to get into Ice District. There's nothing like playoff hockey and the energy that it brings to an entire city. And you felt it in the rink tonight.
Hey, what was the stat that Reed threw out on your show about Adam Henrique and the time between playoff goals for him, Brownie? I thought that was a really cool stat.
I think it's been, I don't know the exact number, but it's been 12 years between goals and 4,000 plus days between playoff goals for Adam Henrique.
The longest stretch in history
of the National Hockey League. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. I don't know what his last one looked like, but tonight was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, it definitely was. So lots for us to dissect from a game one win by the Oilers, guys. So let's get to our breakdown brought to you by Mr. Dirk, the iconic men's clothing store in Edmonton, founded in 1939. It's just off White Avenue and 102nd Street. Looking forward to heading down there this week. Got a meeting set up with Sterling where we're going to hook me up with some new playoff fashion, a couple of new suits maybe, kind of freshen things up. It's a great place to go do that, right? They've got really nice, really fashionable, lots of selection. Suits and pants, shirts and ties. A beautiful showroom, too. You can try everything on. They take great care of you. And they got lots of great casual stuff as well. That is MrDirk.com is where you can go to check out all that they have to offer. Struds, the Oilers get things rocking and rolling with a pile of even strength goals. Just, you know, shot out of a cannon in this game tonight. The top line leading the charge. What did you like best about that that start for him?
Yeah, what I love best is I can take the victory lap about Adam Henrique. You know, obviously I was right, and it's good to be proven right the first game of playoffs. But no, in all seriousness, I think Henrique, I've talked about it before. I like the way he thinks, the way he thinks the game. And now he wasn't involved in the first goal, but the second goal obviously rockets it in there. And the third goal, his forecheck, and I don't know if anyone noticed it, he goes behind the net, just pokes it over to the other side, so McDavid gets it. And then he accidentally, on purpose, holds on to a couple Kings and kind of gets in their way. That frees up Connor, passes up to Hyman, bang. So that is what you bring him in for. You bring him in because he's smart, he's wild, he's able to do it. So I thought he had a huge impact on this game. He may not have led the team in points, but he was a nice fit up on that top line.
Well, what I liked about the game, the start to the game for the Oilers, is both teams know each other. There's no secrets. And the Edmonton Oilers know that the LA Kings are a team that play very well with the lead. They score first. They just shut the game down. They just try to smother you and win the game 1-0. Because of that, the Oilers knew we need a good start. And they did. The Oilers came out flying, shift after shift, led by Connor, who he's on a mission. Connor McDavid is on a mission to win a Stanley Cup. And it started with game one of the first series. They knew they had to get a lead on the LA Kings. They got a lead. They extended the lead. They continued to extend the lead. So I thought this was an Edmonton Oilers team that now knows how to play against the LA Kings, knows how to beat the LA Kings, and they showed that in the first 10 minutes of this hockey game.
There's lots of offense to talk about, and we will, but I want to give a little shout-out here to Matthias Ekholm. You know, when the game was in the balance, which really was kind of the first portion of the game, Strutty, there was a sequence of events where, like, he broke up a couple of rushes. He made one break behind the net. He did, like, a double head fake to then hand the to shake the forecheck, handed the puck to Bouchard. He fired it up ice, and that started the rush that ended up in the goal. I thought that, you know, defensively tonight, Matthias Ekholm made some really high-end plays and was excellent with his stick. And that, to me, you know, when the game was in the balance, I thought that they were solid defensively, and him in particular.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job. I thought the D-men really did a nice job of breaking the puck out. I didn't think that LA had their best forecheck going tonight. You mentioned about kind of, Ekholm, but Bouchard did it. Kulak, we saw him kind of go back for that puck. And then it was like the Kings were, they weren't taking the wall away, but they weren't taking the middle away. They were just kind of around, and he could able to go up the wall or go up the middle more often than I thought they would. So I think that a detail the Kings are going to work on is definitely their details on their forecheck, because I thought it was too easy for the Oilers to break out. But to be fair, the Oilers D-men were getting back quickly, then making plays at those moments, Brownie.
Well, and to go back to Shauger's point about Ekholm, all the talk this year was about Bouchard, 80-plus points. He has 4 assists tonight. But there's 2 players, the Edmonton Oilers, if they want to win a Stanley Cup, they cannot afford to have injury. That's Connor McDavid and Matthias Ekholm. Ekholm is their best defenseman. And he leads by example every shift. And he does so many subtle things on the ice. He's not a bruiser where he just mushes people. But he gets in their way. He closes off gaps. He makes the right play, getting the puck out of his own zone. And if there's a mistake made anywhere on the ice in the defensive zone, he always is the guy covering up. I agree, Shauger. Matthias Ekholm, at the beginning of the game, made a couple of plays that really settled it down in his own zone and just made it look like the LA Kings, this is going to be a long night for you. You guys are not going to get anything easy when I'm on the ice.
So some self-inflicted wounds, hey, Struds, from the LA Kings. They definitely got in their own way tonight in terms of taking some bad penalties. I thought there were 3 penalties that were not great, and you can't do that against this Oilers team. So, you know, I really feel like they got in their own way in this game and created problems for themselves.
Well, the big trade, PLDB. Some people call him Pierre-Luc Dubois. I mean, that I think is the first.
Everybody
penalty.
Calls him Pierre-Luc Dubois. You're the only one that calls him PLDB.
No, there's a lot of people.
It's not screaming. PLD. Nobody else throws the B in there. Where do you get the DB. B from?
Dubois. It's BLDB.
Anyways,
a lot of people call him. Anyways, let's agree we call him PLDB. This guy, I believe, was the first penalty. He was caught up with along the wall, and he just kind of just barely pushed Connor over the boards. I didn't even think that was a good call, but he definitely did not get his 2 minutes worth. Like, those are penalties. If you're taking a 2 minute there, make it worth a while. Hammer him. Maybe try to hurt him, right? Try to hobble him a little bit. But just to go out and do what he did, I thought it was a wasted penalty, Brownie. And there was a multiple times where I thought, what was it? Who took the one on Darnay? Was it Lizotte?
Moore.
That was Trevor Moore.
Like, that's another one. Like, it's just, I don't know that that's really worth it. And everyone's watching you, seeing what you can do. So Yeah, I think that actually some of those penalties remind me of what we saw from the Leafs and Boston in their game one on Saturday, Brownie.
Well, you know, I agree with you about PLDB, who everyone, that's what everyone calls him. I understand that too. Dumb penalties. Like, seriously, dumb penalties. And it's funny, when he pushed Connor over the board, my first thought was, right now Strud's just saying, if you're going to hit Connor, good. You need to hit Connor if you're the LA Kings, but hit him to hurt him. Like, make him feel it. Like, that was just a wasted penalty. And then, so he takes two dumb penalties, and one of them they score on. But the game changed. There's two big moments in this game tonight that really changed the game. When it's 2-0, Arvidsson has a breakaway. Skinner saves it. 20 seconds later, the Oilers score. They extended to make it 3-0. And the other big moment of this game was the Trevor Moore penalty. The LA Kings had pulled to within 4-2. They had another goal that was disallowed. They had taken over the final 10 minutes of the second period, and they were going to go into the intermission down 2, feeling good about themselves. And Trevor Moore takes a stupid penalty, and nothing against Vinny Desharnais, but he goes after the 6th defenseman on the Edmonton Oilers. If you're going to take a dumb penalty, you go after one of the best players, one of the stars. But he goes after the 6th defenseman. Easy call for the referee. He. If I'm the NHL, I'm looking at it. It reminded me of the Josh Archibald hit that got him suspended a couple years ago against Winnipeg. Same type of just dumb. It was a clip. It was like what you would see in a football game. So it was dumb. Yeah. Edmonton Oilers get a power play. They score in the power play, make it 5-2. The game is over. That was a dumb and selfish penalty. When you're playing against the Edmonton Oilers and you're an underdog, you've got to play a perfect game. You need great goaltending, and you need to be disciplined. The LA Kings got neither of those things tonight.
Austin Peterson in with this says, Desharnais didn't look slow at all tonight, looked poised. Everyone did, to be honest. He was a warrior, more getting a game, I believe, for that. While we're talking about the hit and the D-struds, a thought on Vinny Desharnais tonight.
Yeah, I think Brownie's point was really well made. I thought that he really looked quick. He was making plays and really nice breakout passes. Physical, I want to say he had at least 6 hits, six somewhere in that department. So I thought he had a really good game in there for the Oilers. I think we can't gloss over that second period. I do think that the Oilers came out and played a little bit looser. And then to me, there was two plays that I really recorded. Was one, prior to the Mikey Anderson goal, Zach Hyman gets the puck and he's working his way up towards the blue line with really nowhere to make the play. And he holds on. The puck poked off his stick. Seconds later, it's in the back of their net. And I think it was either the shift just before that or shift after that. Darnell Nurse jumps up in the play when there's no play to be made. Like there was no advantage to be created. And it almost leaves his partner, CeCe, in the lurch. So what I like about that is that, you know, there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be, you know, bad decisions over the course of the game for sure, breakdowns. But then in the third, I felt like they said, hey, guys, we don't need to score more goals. We need to just make sure we're good defensively or better defensively. And they brought it back in that third period. So the first and third were good. I thought the second was what we'd seen previously from the Oilers, specifically in some moments against Vegas last year.
Capitalizing on the power play, right? If LA is going to make those stupid plays and take those bad penalties, you gotta hit them for it. And Zuby, you can get the McDavid power play clip ready here. We'll get to the Weiss Johnson sound box. They're offering $200 off their Fantech HEPA filter system. So be proactive. Keep the air in your home clean, right? If we have more forest fires this year, we certainly hope we don't. But if we do, this filtration system will make sure that your house is a comfortable place to be when it's kind of mayhem outside. So contact them for this amazing deal by visiting Weiss-Johnson.com. Today, Jingle. Got to capitalize when they give you those opportunities. Connor McDavid on the power play tonight.
Well, they got a great kill. You know, they were the number one kill all year long, and we got a lot of respect for that group, and we were prepared. You know, and I thought, you know, we got some good players on that unit making good plays, and, you know, that shot by Leo is incredible. You know, I'm not sure how you stop that, but I thought we were able to hit him a couple of different ways, which is good because it leaves you know them to have to figure it out. with that being said, we got a few things up our sleeve still, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, a few things up their sleeve, Struds. They came out and on the very first power play, they had a different formation. That was different, man. They had McDavid over on the left side. They had Hyman in front, Draisaitl on the bumper, Nugent Hopkins over on the right flank, and Bouchard at the point. I'm not saying we've never seen that. That was a different look right out of the gate from their power play.
Yeah, and you know, you're penalty killers, and they would have, you know, you go over the video and say, hey, this is what to expect, this would look like, and all of a sudden you wheel out there, and it's not looking what you think it looks like. Yeah. Like, what just happened here? What's going on? So, yeah, it does throw you off. So now again, now those guys are going to go back and watch tonight's PK video, and they're going to watch some of the previous ones. Now they're wondering what's going on. And if Connor says they have other things up their sleeve, I'll be interested to see it. But I thought the PK looked – or sorry, the power play looked really good. And, you know, we've talked about it before, Brownie. Like, I thought that their passes were on the mark. There was very few bobbled passes by any of those five guys the whole night.
Well, the one thing that separates them from any other power play in the league is their execution. They execute better than anyone. The Oilers' power play is so different from any other power play in the National Hockey League. You watch Tampa, great power play. Kucherov and Stamkos, exact same spots all the time. Capitals, all those years. Ovechkin, always the exact same spot. Watch the Canucks, any of them. The Oilers move all over the place. And if you're a penalty killer, Struds, and you were in your career, this is where Connor is. I know he's there. I can look the other way and find the puck because I know Connor's always there. And then you learn, look back, okay, now where did Connor go? And Connor could be up by the blue line on the left side. He could be down by the post on the right. He could be skating through the slot. And that's what makes it so hard. And these guys practice it, and then they have all these little wrinkles. Before the Hyman hat trick goal, Leon Draisaitl called a little meeting and said, all right, and he's pointing, here's what we're doing. They win so many face-offs that they have so many set plays. And it's a set play that they know exactly where it's going. So it's really hard to defend. And the biggest thing about tonight, the LA Kings felt that this was a chance they could win this series. And one of the big reasons is the power play for the Oilers has beat them up the last two series, last 2 years. This year, their penalty killing improved, second in the National Hockey League. And the Oilers tonight go 3-for-4. All of a sudden, you're second-guessing yourselves as a penalty killer. They are in the minds of the LA Kings penalty killers. That was another huge moment for the Oilers in this game. The power play embarrassed the LA Kings penalty killers for a 75% success rate in tonight's game.
Brownie, put into perspective how hard it is to make that shot that Leon Draisaitl made.
There's a lot of guys in the National Hockey League that can't take a one-timer. And a great example, Jordan Eberle was here for years. If he could have a one-timer, he would have scored 30 goals every year here. He always would stop the puck. It's Alashevsky, there's lots of players. And you think it's funny, but there's a ton of players that cannot take a one-timer. Now, they put guys in the middle of the slot one-timer, some of them would struggle to hit the net. He's got an angle of he's got about 4 inches that he can hit, and he does. No, there's no player in the National Hockey League that one times the puck with better accuracy than Leon Draisaitl. No player. Stamkos is great. Kucherov is great. But watch where they're standing. And then where you have Leon, and Connor said it in his post tonight, there's no way the goalie can stop that. He's got to come so far for where Leon is shooting the puck. And Strudge, you would know more than anyone, too. Where you as a defenseman and you as a goalie, both of them could be in the absolute right positions there, and Leon will still score because he's in a position that nobody would expect him to be in.
Well, it's just so far away. You know, so if you go over and defend that pass, that leaves the other half of the ice open. It's a really hard play. And I know, you know, oh, it's just like Ovechkin. They know where he is. Yeah, you know where he is, but it's just so far down the line. You're like, this guy is really not a very big threat. I've got other guys way in front of me, but now you cheat one or the other and you get burned by the other party. So yeah, that shot was incredible. I actually didn't think it went in when he shot it. That's how I was like, what the hell just happened? I was at the other end, but still amazing shot.
Black Havoc 14 says it's the burger flipper. I'm convinced that is the key. Excuse me. He's got that crazy blade, and there's just something about all that surface area you know, and maybe just being able to leverage that surface area to always get enough on it. But just a brilliant shot. He's perfected it. Nobody does it like him. Just incredibly impressive. In our next segment, we got lots to break down here. So we're going to save Stuart Skinner for our next segment. We're going to save Evander Kane for our next segment. We're going to save the no goal for our next segment. Strud, since we're on the special teams kick here, though, and before we get to our relentless player, I thought the penalty kill was clutch tonight. And somehow, guys, despite the fact that they left themselves short a penalty killer so clearly in Connor Brown, how could they possibly have played Holloway ahead of Connor Brown and left themselves so short on the penalty kill? I thought it looked pretty good tonight, Stretz.
Yeah, it looked good. I thought they did a good job.
Was that subtle enough?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no. And then, yeah, well, did Dylan play the third line or fourth line?
He ended up playing on the fourth line. Which makes even more my point. You guys both thought that if he wasn't on the third line, he'd just come out. But they kept him in.
Yeah.
Anyways.
No, I thought
they kept him in. He played after two periods. After two periods, Holloway played 3 minutes.
I know.
9:44 total ice time.
Yeah, because he played in the third period because they started to blow out the Kings.
So now we're not going to give him credit for taking part in it. So no credit for taking part in the competition tonight at all, or?
Everyone was good tonight, but if he's playing on the fourth line, they're not getting what they need out of him if he's getting 4 or 5 minutes a night.
Yeah, he's in a tough spot. But the PK, just a quick thought on it. I thought they were very confident. They looked very organized and very confident, and I think that bodes well for hopefully game two.
100%. You want to duke it out on this Holloway thing before the next segment, or you want to do it now, Brownie?
I'm a Dylan Holloway fan. I think Dylan Holloway should be in your top nine. But he's not in their top nine. He's on their fourth line. And if the Oilers didn't win this game or weren't up 6-2, Dylan Holloway would add 5 minutes of ice time tonight.
So you'd be putting a That's why Connor I Brown think, in next game?
You'd be putting I would, Brown then, in. Have, then you may as well have Connor Brown in, because if now all of a sudden one of the penalty killers gets a penalty, now Connor Brown can do that. The problem with Dylan Holloway on your fourth line is you have to search for ice time for him. Tonight, when you blow a team out or when you are blowing a team out, you can find ice time for him.
Struds?
I'll say this, that Evander Kane made a statement tonight that I'm a top nine forward, and I think that makes it more difficult for Dylan to move up.
For sure. And we'll get more into that next game. My point in this whole thing is that Dylan Holloway came in with a small window, took advantage of that window, earned a spot in the lineup, whether it was a third-line role or a fourth-line role, and good for him. And I thought he was energetic tonight. Did he make a huge impact? No. But I didn't think that he negatively impacted things. And I think the penalty kill was fine with the guys that they had available. And by the way, they had a penalty killer take a penalty early on in the game, and they were still able to kill that one off with the guys that they had. So it was a positive night for Holloway, and I'd be leaving him in next game. But we can get into that in our next segment. Let's get to the You Can You Services Relentless Player of the Night. They are relentless at You Can in helping youth age 16 to 24 get out of harm's way and find employment. Visit youcan.ca to see how your donation can change lives right here in our community. Ready?
This is going to, I believe, the largest collection of people ever in the Relentless Award history. All the fans in Rogers Place tonight, they were chanting, Talbot, Talbot.
Oh, God, it was nonstop.
I couldn't believe it. I've seen it in other buildings. I don't remember Oilers fans being that relentless from the first period on. I credit them. I love it. I love that stuff. I think it's so good. And how could it not affect a goalie? So all the fans, 20,000 some fans screaming out Talbot.
That can't be comfortable, Brownie. Like that can't, especially late in the game when it was basically over and the hats were on the ice and he's just standing there. Like I know pro athletes are supposed to be able to tune all that stuff out. Brownie, that had to suck.
Well, it would when you're losing. It's one of those ones when you're winning. Say all you want. I think they're going to have to lose, or they probably should have to learn another name, because if I'm the LA Kings, Cam Talbot isn't starting game two for me. David Rittich is.
Big save, Dave. You're going to big save, Dave?
I don't know.
Well, that's two horrible games in a row for Talbot. I watched Talbot play against the Blackhawks the other night. He was awful against the Blackhawks. And that's two bad games in a row for Cam Talbot. The LA Kings can't beat Edmonton with average goaltending. And Cam Talbot was average at best tonight.
Yep, I think that's more than fair. All right, that was our You Can You Services Relentless Player of the Night, and it's you, Oiler fan. Anybody who was in the building tonight, by the way, 14 bags of hats. And now somehow Gregor seemed to know the number of hats. I don't know where that came from, but we were in the scrum with Zach Hyman, and I was like, it was 12 bags. And then I was corrected. Someone said it was 14. And Gregor was like, 1,014 hats. Like, he threw it out there like he had the exact number. It was pretty impressive. Well done, Gregs. But to Oiler fan, you know, maybe I'll throw them at once instead of over a 5-minute period, if you don't mind. But a great display for Zach Hyman from Oiler fan tonight. That was the breakdown. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll dive into Evander Kane. We'll talk about Stuart Skinner, a couple of other things as well. Plenty more ahead on the program.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard-to-reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
On paper, my life looks exciting.
In reality, not so much.
Every day, it's same old, same old.
Clock in, clock out.
Then I discovered Play Alberta. I can play casino games anytime.
Bet on any game.
And buy lottery tickets anywhere in Alberta. I think my spleen is ruptured.
All right, time now for our takeaways brought to you by our newest sponsor here on the podcast. A huge welcome to FG Promotions. When it's time to step up your brand game, turn to FG Promotions. Quality, consistency, customization, they do it all. Mention Got Your Back and get a cool 10% off your first order. Plus, you've got great incentives in a program that offers discounts on personal golf gear. That's kind of the specialty. FG Promotions has got your back. Head over to fgpromo.ca. Mention Got Your Back, and let's get that brand shining. Okay, gentlemen, we've waited long enough. We probably should have got to Stuart Skinner in that opening segment. That's a long time to wait between playoff starts and a lot to think about for Stuart Skinner after the way last playoffs went. Waiting for this moment tonight, Struds. And I'm not surprised by it because he's a pretty composed guy, but that seemed to me like a goalie that that met the moment tonight.
He looked very comfortable and very poised in it. And there was a save prior to the Oilers' first goal. He made a toe save, if I remember correctly, that, you know, that could have changed the whole game. If LA scores, now they got the lead, and then you're like, okay, they got to get it through the meat grinder in the neutral zone. Yeah. But I thought that was, to me, when I saw that save, I'm like, okay, this guy's good. He knows what's up. He's going to make it happen, Brownie.
Well, to me, it was the save on Arvidsson on the breakaway. You know, the Oilers got off to the 2-0 start. The LA Kings really had no grade A looks. And all of a sudden, a bit of a mess up in the neutral zone. And Arvidsson, who was a fantastic player, gets a breakaway. And if he scores there, it's 2-1. And all of a sudden, everything that the Oilers had done up to that point is gone. And the LA Kings are back in the game. Skinner makes a save, looks comfortable doing it. 20 seconds later, the Oilers score and extend the lead to 3-0. So that save by Skinner on that breakaway, to me, changed the whole game. It just put the LA Kings in an almost impossible situation. So yeah, a couple bad bounces off of his own teammates to get behind Skinner, and then the 2-on-1 broken stick CeCe play. But I thought Skinner looked good, looked composed, looked confident, and was by far the better of the two goalies tonight.
Yeah, no question. Let's get back to the Weis Johnson soundbox. Here is Stuart Skinner on feeling ready to meet that moment.
Yeah, I felt great. a lot of experience that I was able to get last year came into play definitely today. Just knowing kind of what the building's going to feel like and how loud the fans are going to be. So, yeah, I felt very comfortable and calm and ready to roll.
Yeah, a couple bad bounces, as you mentioned, Brownie. But when that game was in the balance, Stuart Skinner was all over it. You know, I thought his pads were great. I thought his glove was good. He was just calm. He was composed in there. You know, didn't let the traffic rattle him at all, Struds. If you're a teammate of Stuart Skinner and you're watching, and maybe you were on the team last year in the playoffs, and remember, got pulled in the last three games, I think it was against Vegas, four times overall in the playoffs. If you were on that team and you're on this team this year watching him tonight, what are you thinking as a teammate looking at that goalie? Because Struds, you're always, you talk a lot about what you want to see from your goalie as a teammate.
I want to see calm. I want to see calm. And I thought we saw it from him tonight. Now, it's not just tonight. There is, you know, he has a body of work from last season and then a body of work from this season. Now, I know the playoffs wasn't the way he wanted to go, but I maintain it. I think he was either mentally or physically and we're both tired. I know he doesn't bleed. He doesn't think he was. I believe he was. It's just a long year. So now he's managed himself differently this year, and the guys see it. They see what he's done, how he's played. Now you get into this first game, again, look calm, collected. He was getting his work done. So I'm really interested to see what it looks like game two. Can he bring that same style, that same approach to his game? I thought Cam was quite a bit all over the net, you know, a couple times outside the blue paint, which is probably not what a goalie coach wants, but you know, he was under pressure, obviously, more than Skinner was. But I'm really looking forward to Brown to see what he looks like next game and step it up again. Another, the same level for another 60 minutes.
Yeah, 100%. The Oilers are a good enough team that they don't need goalies to steal games for them, but they need goaltenders to make the saves they're supposed to. And I think that's what you got from Skinner tonight and what you've got from Skinner really since the middle of November. So, it was a quality start. If the Oilers get quality starts in net, the Oilers are going to have a very long playoff run.
Yeah, agreed. Let's get back to the Weiss Johnson soundbox here. What did the head coach think of what Evander Kane brought to the game one party tonight?
Well, Evander hadn't skated for 7 days. And him coming back, it was just a let's wait and see. Let's see how he looks. And yesterday in practice, he looked really well. And then we obviously feel that we want to give him more minutes, more responsibilities, and being on that fourth line. And as for his game tonight, I thought he was really good. There was a few situations where he made something out of nothing. There was a couple shots off the rush where didn't really think it was a scoring chance, and because of his ability, he made it look dangerous.
He even had that one player off the rush where he tried to flip it up and bat it with his stick and flip it over the opponent. And, you know, you're feeling it when that happens. So, you know, Brownie, no points on the board, but the stats line is just over 16 minutes played. 15:45 of that was at even strength. That was, I'm not sure. Quick look here. I'm looking for forwards that might have played more than that. I think he might have been, yeah, pretty much the top forward at even strength, it looks like. As I'm quickly glancing at it. So top forward at even strength, 6 shots, 9 attempts, couple of hits. Struds, you were really concerned last night what this could mean potentially, Evander Kane being injured. And I guess Brownie, that's a good sign that he was able to put forward what he did tonight.
I agree. Well, it's funny when Knobloch first starts, well, he hasn't skated in 7 days. I know what I would look like after 7 days without skating. It was certainly not anything like Evander Kane did. I thought he was excellent in this game. This might—I know that the last few games before he left with injury, he had some points in those games. But I thought tonight was even better. I thought it was a very controlled Evander Kane. Wasn't running around trying to throw someone through the boards because he didn't need to. Finished his checks. Used its speed, looked fine. He pulled away a couple times to create 2-on-1 opportunities. Almost beat Talbot with one going far side in the second period. But yeah, I thought Evander Kane deserved all of the minutes he got. He was very good. He and his line mates were very good, and he was the guy that drove the line today. So I thought that was a really good sign for Evander Kane and for Oilers fans. Wondering what you were going to get out of an Evander Kane dealing with injury. Tonight, it didn't look like he had anything wrong with him.
Now, every time I watch him skate, I'm always wincing because I'm like, oh, does that hurt? Does that hurt? Does that hurt? Like, it's funny. I'm thinking about it all the time. But he looked way better than I expected him too, you know, after that much time off. So credit to him. And he looked like a very determined player tonight. And that line was good. I thought that he, McLeod, and Perry looked good. I thought Perry really worked it down low. Mm-hmm. They held on to the puck for the most part in the offensive zone. I thought it was good. A productive day for that line.
I thought Perry looked right up to speed too. And I know it's not going to be the fastest game. You know, like, LA isn't necessarily going to push insane pace, but I thought Perry kept up just fine and looked like he was fully up to playoff pace ready. I don't know. I wondered what that might look like.
I thought he did a really good job at their own blue line, taking pucks away. I think there's two times where he swiped pucks away.
Great point.
And I hadn't seen that in, you know, previously, but you know, maybe it was just opportunity or he's focusing, but he gets it. You know, how many times do we see him just turn his back to the defender in the offensive zone, hold on to that puck, keep your feet moving, looking for a play. You know, and as a sidebar, I thought the Oilers, especially in the first period, did a great job of going from low to high, then across, then to the net and getting bodies to the net. Like that's, I think, a recipe for playoff success. You're not going to make it all beautiful, but going from low to high and then back down low and then across, like I love the way they did it. And Perry had it going on for sure.
Brownie, what'd you think?
I thought Perry was excellent. I think Perry on the Edmonton Oilers reads the game better than any of the players. I think he understands when to get a puck in deep. He understands when to create something after a whistle. He understands, is this a dump in or is this one where I can make a play? There's a reason teams that are championship contending teams want Corey Perry on their teams. He knows how to win games. He just understands the temperature of a game. He knows, oh, I got to fight this shift. Oh, I need a hit. Well, this is a shift that I need. Just, we need a shift where we spend no time in our own end. And I thought you saw that tonight. I thought he was excellent. He makes the right plays at all the right times.
All right. That was Takeaways brought to you by FG Promotions. Time now for the best segment on the podcast. Brownie Points, brought to you by Hamel's Premium Jerky. If you're looking for a snack to bring to the next watch party, look no further than Hamel's Beef Jerky. Locally owned here in Alberta. Shipping is fast, so you can satisfy the savory craving. 14 flavors to choose from. Check out their special offer. 3 pounds of beef jerky for $85 and free shipping as well. It's a great deal. It's great jerky. Go to albertajerky.com, guys. So we got the samples, and I took like 5 or 6 pieces of each, threw them into a Ziploc bag, threw them in my truck. So I didn't even know which flavors I was eating, but I snacked on them all the way to the rink, and I snacked on them all the way home from the rink tonight. Some yummy stuff in there, man. And the odd one that's nice and spicy, you're like, whoa, just such good stuff.
I love it.
Well, the spicy ones, they go to my wife. I get all the other ones. But here's the brownie points for tonight, and I've got a few of them to hand out because it's a happy night in Oilerville. 3 brownie points for Zach Hyman for a hat trick. The magical season of Zach Hyman continues.
It never ends.
He just continues.
But
they're 3 really big ones. I'm running out. You didn't send my new allotment. I got my beef jerky in the mail. I didn't get my brownie points in the mail. I got 5 brownie points for number 97, who all he wants to do is win a Stanley Cup. Well, tonight he started his quest by setting up 5 different goals in this hockey game. He was the best player on the ice by far. I have 1,014 brownie points to the 1,014 boys, girls, men and women that threw their $35 hats onto the ice tonight. And I agree. Could you please do it all at the same time next game? And at 8:20 start, we do not want to waste 17 minutes cleaning up.
Like, can we all just agree that if you don't think you throwing your hat will get it to the ice, just don't throw it? Only people within proximity of the glass should be throwing. Am I wrong?
I believe you are.
No, we should do. No, we should do, Shogger. If anybody gets 2 goals in the game, early in the game, everybody hand their hats down, get them all the way to the first five rows, and they'll be ready for that third goal. That'll just speed up everything, and then we won't have to do a podcast at 1:23 a.m.
All right, 1,014. Okay, what else you got?
-100 brownie points to Trevor Moore for a stupid penalty that I believe cost his team any chance of coming back for a victory. And then my biggest brownie point of the night, it's one gigantic, super giant, wow, holy smokes, big brownie point for winning the first of 16 wins that you need for the Stanley Cup. Number one is now in the bag.
Sounds like that was maybe a funky brownie he was describing there, Streds. Yeah. Hey, yeah, a little special brownie.
That one,
a little special
brownie. That's a brownie that I'm going to have on Friday night. That kind of brownie. Yes.
That's a Friday night brownie, baby.
It's a homebrew.
I love it. Love
it. We need 16 wins so I can have 6. We need 16 wins so I can have 16 of my funky brownies.
Oh, fantastic. Brownie points brought to you by Hamel's Premium Jerky. Late shift, Brownie. Thanks for hanging in, pal. Let's chat after game two.
All right, I'm just going to stay in my car. I got to go to the rink in 4 hours anyway. So, night, guys.
Good night, buddy.
See you, buddy. All right, lots more with Struds and I still to come ahead on the show, so stay with us.
Spring is here, and if you're thinking of buying a new home during the housing market hot period, contacting a mortgage broker should be your first step. Maria Gallas with Maximo Mortgages can guide you with a stress-free experience. With access to dozens of different lenders, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you ready to put an offer in on your dream home. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallas at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com. Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
All right, time for us to take a couple of laps. Brought to you by Backscape, the fastest male, growing male grooming company on the planet. And it's even better. Here is the new Backscape 2.0. That friction fit handle is awesome. Shave head just slides right in and out of there, and it gets all the tough work done. Friction fit handle lets you effortlessly snap that thing in and out to touch up the rest of your body as well. And the titanium shave head gives a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Got an offer for you there. You can see GYB10 is the code. So if you go to backscape.com, that's B-A-K-scape.com, and type in GYB10 is the code, you will get 10% off. Backscape, stay smooth, gentlemen. Struddy, taking a lap here. I'm sensing maybe some Maple Leafs. You going there?
Yeah, I am. I got to. I can't help myself. I have to watch them. So,
are you on overdrive this week?
I was on. I was on today. Just for just a call in. Nothing. Yeah. No. They got their full lineup.
They don't want to have you on the day after a game. They're worried about having you on the day after.
That's so true. That's so true. But with the Leafs winning, maybe we'll make a change. So there I go. I dropped the dime. Boston won for game one. Obviously, the Leafs didn't have their best showing, and they got down tonight 1-0. And the Leafs, they battle back and they get a 3-2 win. And their big star was the star, Austin Matthews, best player in the game. He had, I think, 8 shots. I think he had seven hits or something, 2 assists and a goal. So every goal the Oilers score or the Leafs scored, he was involved in. He had a really, really good game. It's one of those games that's kind of like, hey, I'm if not the best player, one of the two or three best players in this series.
Yeah, that was important for him to come out and do that. And man, this is a huge return serve for the Maple Leafs. I had a couple, I was doing some stuff with CTV Edmonton here and a few things to do. So I wasn't able to catch the bulk of that game. Struds, can you fill us in? Like, how did the other big guys look? How was Marner, and how was, you know, has he checked into the series yet? And like, how do you feel about their chances moving forward here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah. So getting this win tonight on Monday was a huge win. It's a huge, because you were down 2-0. It's a pretty hard road back. You know, the fact that the Boston scored first, I thought that was a little bit dicey and kind of makes it nervous. But the Leafs seemed to manage the puck a little bit better. Yeah. They were on the puck, making plays. I think they were physical without running out of position. Now, I didn't watch a ton of the first game, but the parts I watched, it felt like they were running out of position to get hits. Tonight, they still got hits, but they weren't running out as much of position, which I think makes a difference. You can't sacrifice everything to get a hit, everything being a chance against. So, yeah, it's a really good step in the right direction for the Leafs, and now it's a best of five. And, you know, it's like, okay, we haven't been here this many times, but I think that now you can go home. If you win game three, you might just have something brewing.
Oh, yeah. You get that game, and now you're feeling a lot better about yourselves. Tied 1-1 that series, 3-2 win for the Maple Leafs. Where next?
Canes. I think a lot of people have the Canes picked as a Stanley Cup contender. They were down 3-0 to the New York Islanders.
Crazy they blew that lead.
Blew it. Massively. The Islanders blew it. Five straight goals, including two goals that were 9 seconds apart. Patrick, well, and I didn't watch this game. I can't watch 10 games at once and be at Rogers Place, but it was 5-5-3. They lost. I watched the highlights, and Patrick Watts did not look thrilled. But a 3-0 lead evaporates, and you lose 5-3. That, my friend, is a really, really tough one to overcome for any team. But a team playing the Canes, I think this might be a very quick
series. Did you see the shot attempts in that game?
No. What were they?
Do you know what the shot attempts were in this game? The New York Islanders had 28 shot attempts, 12 shots on net, 8 attempts blocked, and 8 missed shots. The Carolina Hurricanes had 39 shots on net, 39 attempts blocked, and 32 missed nets. That is, oh shit, math. 110, yeah, I think. That's 110. To 28 were the shot attempts in that game. That's ridiculous.
It is. But, I mean, I believe Rod Brind'Amour is the type of coach that wants to get pucks to the net as much as possible.
I understand volume shooting, but, I mean, that's insane. And then giving up only 12 in the process is pretty impressive, too.
I'm going to be completely transparent. I do not like the way the Islanders play. I do not like watching the Islanders play hockey. I just don't think it's, and I don't think they're that good a team. So I got to look at my sheet. I think I had them in, I had Canes in 06. Jeez, what was I thinking? Canes in 6. I like to revisit that one. But anyways, pretty tough road back, but that's a tough place to win on Long Island.
Are you doing any more of these other games in Struddy's world, or should we hit on Vegas that whole drill?
No, we can hit whatever you want. Yeah.
So Mark Stone makes his triumphant return to the lineup. What did it take him? Like a minute or so, a minute and a half?
Tough.
And he opens the scoring for the Vegas Golden Knights. So we'll ask you, Oiler fan, what did you think when you saw that? Struds, what do you think, man?
Well, I'm not surprised. Like, they've shown themselves to do this a number of times, so let's not be surprised. Yeah. You look good. Again, I you can't watch that one, but I watched some highlights, and it looked like he was skating well. Obviously, he scored the goal. But he and Hurdle are two big bodies, and they are pretty effective two big bodies. So I said it earlier, guys, and I'll repeat it. I would rather have played Vegas in the first round than in the second round, or could be, I guess, in the third round.
Man. And by the way, I'm going to reiterate tonight, because there were some questions last night. I think even you questioned, Struds, about the Oilers and Evander Kane with his injury and why long-term injured reserve wouldn't have been an option for him, considering, you know, the sports hernia that he was going through all year. So a couple of things on this. not sure if you heard Chris Knobloch's response today when he was asked that question. Gregor asked him that question about, did you think about having it fixed? Did you think about, you know, maybe being able to, and Knobloch wasn't going there at all. Like, completely avoided the question, said, I'm not going to talk about that. Now, Chris right. Knobloch does not do that. Chris Knobloch answers the questions that we ask him, which mm-hmm. tells me it was touchy. And the other thing I will say is that this Oiler management group is savvy enough to know that if there's an opportunity to put a player on long-term injured reserve and set themselves up for more success in the playoffs, they absolutely would be smart enough to do it. So we don't know all the details. We don't know everything that went on behind the scenes. But to think that they missed an opportunity, I don't think that's giving them enough credit, considering this is their jobs, Struds.
That's a fair point. And that's why, you know, I'd love to hear the explanation. When this is all done, I'd love to hear what the thought process was and or the timing of it all. Like, I we don't know. So it's hard to comment on. But my initial thought was, why not get the surgery so he's 100% healthy mm-hmm. if it would happen early enough in the year?
Yeah.
So it's not like a shoulder labrum tear where you're out for 6 months, right? So,
right.
So I guess that'll be, you know, we wait and see what happens when this order is over.
Yeah, we'll get a chance to ask him that maybe at some point. All right, that was Taking a Lap, brought to you by Backscape. When we come back, Strutty's World and Ask Us Anything. Two more segments to go here on the pod, as well as our Play Alberta Play of the Day. Stay with us.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Gotta look good.
No commercial there, Zuby. Just straight to Strutty's World.
No, we put three in the second break. That's the rundown I got.
Perfect. Well, that works perfect. Let's get to it. Time for Strutty's World. Brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. Love the music. If you have not had the experience of this amazing flavored rum blended on the Caribbean island of St. Kitts, do yourself a favor. Grab a bottle today. The Brindley family has been crafting Shipwreck in small batches for decades now. Took a tour of a shog gathering the other night. And I'm not going to lie to you. There's another spiced rum that has been at Rashog gatherings for years and years and years. I will not say the name, but another spiced rum. And I brought in some Brindleys, added it to the party. I think I converted the boys at DLR Vinyl, Strutty. I think they are ready to start consuming Shipwreck and replace that other stuff. So the two sponsors of Strutty's World, DLR Vinyl and Shipwreck Rum, going to get along just fine. Get Shipwreck, fans, available at your local liquor retailer. And as always, please enjoy responsibly. Strutty?
Coming home again. It's kind of cool when you maybe live somewhere else and then you come back to where you want to be and visit your friends or family. But in sports, I just have a hard time when I see it. Today, it was announced by the Buffalo Sabres that they brought back their longtime head coach, Lindy Ruff. Lindy was there for over 10 years. He went away and coached at some different places. Actually, was an assistant coach with the Rangers. Most recently, you remember her with the New Jersey Devils. And now Lindy comes back. Back to be the savior and pull this team out of the doldrums that is just mediocrity and not enough wins. A, was anyone going to hire Lindy Ruff before the end of the playoffs? B, why wouldn't you wait to see what happens after the playoffs and have a conversation with everybody? And C, I don't like this idea. I don't think it was a good choice. Kevin Adams, he's done some good things with that group. But I believe this was a misstep when a misstep couldn't occur. I like Lindy as a person. I think he's done some good things as a coach. But Shager, this is a misstep. The timing, the desperation, and bringing an old soul back to your team. I don't understand it. To be quite frank, I do not understand it.
Two words on this situation for me. Craig Berube. Like, I don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand what's going on here. It's a hell of a good coach sitting out there. Guy that knows how to win and a guy that can motivate young guys. A guy who is known for being upfront with his players and honest with his players, just like he was when he played. I'm confused why anybody is filling their positions here without him being you know, deep in the conversation, if not the guy that gets hired. So I agree with what you're saying here on Lindy Ruff. I'm wondering, when the hell is someone going to hire Craig Berube? Maybe he's waiting. Maybe he wants to wait for the perfect opportunity. But I don't know. The Sabres seem like a pretty good up-and-coming group. You'd have to feel good about what's possible the next 3 to 4 years there, wouldn't you, Struds?
Yeah, I think that their D, you know, they've got some top-end D, obviously. The goaltender looks like it's maybe getting solved. Up front, I'm not sure that's a finished product there. I think there's a lot going on with that group. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure it's that close. But, you know, like, honestly, and you're way more connected than I am, but was Lindy Ruff, was there any risk of him getting picked up in the next 7 weeks? Yeah, and no. This, I don't mean to be mean to Lindy, but let's just be honest here. I don't think that was going to happen at all. I actually didn't think he was going to get another head coaching job. So you could have sat down with Berube. Where's Jay Woodcroft in this whole situation to talk to? And there's many other coaches that were, you know, out there. And it feels like we got to get someone quick. Let's get this solved and then make a plan for the draft. Make a plan for next year. I don't know. I'll be really interested to see who his assistant coaches are.
Yeah. Todd McClellan hanging out there as well. So,
yeah. Coach.
Taves Duquesne says, Kevin Adams looked like he had it on the rails after moving Eichel and showing some progress last year, but it's become a circus in Buffalo again, according to Taves Duquesne. Yeah, I don't disagree. They're an organization that you want to see them take a step because they got some really exciting young players, man. Like, that decor, I want to see those guys have the opportunity to play on a big stage at some point, Struds. They deserve it. They're good enough to, those young guys, and they need it early in their development here, but they ain't getting it.
No, they're not getting it. And I honestly think it's time to go and just change. I would have changed it all. Like, if I was the owner,
scorched earth.
Yeah, we're gonna, you know, I've got an idea. We're gonna bring in our ex-coach. Which one? Lindy Ruff, what? You're bringing who back?
I'm sorry.
Okay, you know what?
Yeah.
I think what we're going to do is we're just going to start again, and we're going to get this done right. Because you know it as well as I do. Most rebuilds don't end with the same GM they started with, right? That usually there's a transfer there at some point. So I don't know. I like Kevin Adams. It just doesn't feel right. You had so much time and so many options. This does not feel right.
We'll see how it all plays out, buddy. We will see how it all plays out. That was Struddy's World, brought to you by Brinley Shipwreck Rum. Okay, let's get to Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House. If you only got time for one before the game, make it a frosty 25-ouncer at Match Ice District. Enjoy the supersized steins on select beers. Match Eatery and Public House is located adjacent to Rogers Place in the Grand Villa Casino. For more information, you can check them out online. matchpub.com. My colleague Pierre Lebrun is in town. We've been doing some stuff on TSN SportsCenter, TSN's YouTube channel as well, and treated him to lunch yesterday at Match. It was great hospitality. I went with the hot chicken sandwich again. Pierre, I think, had the clubhouse. He was quite happy with it. So reviews are good from the TSN crew. Zuby, hop in, my friend. How's the mood on the stream tonight? A game one win. So I imagine there's nobody arguing. Everybody's getting along marvelously.
Neil Garrity and somebody else's name escaped. Not as much of a regular on the stream. They were getting into it. Something about Matt, and actually I'll go, was it Vane? Yeah, it was Vane Wretzky, I believe. Anyway, he's a newer character. But anyway, I didn't see where it all started. It had to do with which pairings were playing against which forwards. But I will say that as they were discussing who was better at math, Steno chimed in and said, there are three types of people in the world, those who can do math and those who can't. And I thought that was a good...
that's a pretty good line.
I hadn't heard that, and I appreciate a good dad joke, like, of course. So I thought that was pretty funny. And then also, you guys covered the game in depth, so we have lots of stuff that's kind of like fringe things that I wanted to bring to your attention tonight.
Good.
And Struddy, you were just talking about coming home again, and lots of people mentioned that, Chugger, you good?
Yeah, I'm fine. My damn camera keeps clicking out of this thing. Just proceed. Ignore okay. me right now.
So lots of people on the stream mentioning that Kleem Costin was in attendance at the game tonight and goes so far. I did look it up and saw a photo of this. This is true. Zoe R said Kleem had his Oilers jersey draped around his shoulders. Now that's extremely, aside from Brady Tkachuk chugging beers at a Flames game, which I got no problem with because his brother's playing there, but Kleem Costin's still under contract, right, to the Sharks for another year. That's kind of strange, don't you think? I mean, it doesn't actually bother me, but what did you guys think of the Kleem Costin sighting?
I didn't see it. I saw some people mentioning it on the stream. Struds, what do you think, buddy? What would you think if you were a Sharks teammate?
So they flashed it up on the screen. And yeah, I mean, if you're a Sharks teammate, you're like, you know, you're not that upset. You get it. I mean, their team is terrible. Really? And they're like, but this is, you know, I take no pleasure in saying this, but I was right. You know, Kleem, he had traction with this Oilers team. And then he, you know, this didn't sound like the money's going to work out. So he gets moved to Detroit, where it obviously didn't work. He was shipped to a worse team. So he went from a really good team to a team trying to get better than the worst team in the league. And it's very hard to shine. You could be the brightest turd on a shiny pile of turds, but you're still a turd. Trust me, I've been a turd many times. So he should have just take your qualifying offer, and he could have been here this year with a role in the team, making a difference. And lesson learned, man. Unfortunately,
he got a couple million bucks, didn't he, Struds? Like, didn't he?
So
that's some pretty good money, buddy. You got life-changing money.
Okay, I'll say this. So he's got it for 2 years, right? So right now, which direction is career trending? Upwards or downwards?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Probably be in Europe after next year, unless something dramatically changes and a coach and Quinn likes him. That's the way it's trending. And let's just see where this goes. I have a knack of finding guys that are able to, you know, just torpedo their career because of bad decisions and wanting too much. So my suggestion would have been taking his qualifying offer, play here, then maybe extend that to a longer contract that makes sense. But again, getting an actual NHL career going, because at this point, I don't believe he's an NHL player.
And I will say, Struds, you absolutely nailed that. You were saying that late last year when we were talking about Kleem Costin, and you were very consistent with that. And looks to me like you were bang on that one. Go ahead.
Hope I'm wrong for him, because he seems like an amazing guy.
Yeah.
Okay, my old pal Gord Parchewski out in St. Albert, he said, I didn't see many players targeting Kane, injured or not. Not many players seem to want any part of him. Obelisk chimed in there. He said, it's not just his ability to kick your ass, but he's one of those guys you don't want to wake up. Do you think that's an accurate assessment of it? Did you expect that the Kings would go harder at him with the injury revelation just yesterday?
Well, it's hard to pinpoint it. Like, what do you spear him in the sports hernia? You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to tell where it is. So I think you got to be careful. I don't know. You know, I think you have to challenge him. I do think it's, if you're a guy that can do it. But which player on the Kings can do it? PLPD, he might be a guy that can do it. Englund is another guy. But I don't need Drew Doughty challenging Kane physically, right? So am I missing someone? Like, who else could do it? Who else is?
Yeah, no, I mean, England is, it's not, honestly, it's not really there.
Yeah, so I think that's a challenge. So I think that's maybe one reason. But honestly, I said I thought Kane looked really good tonight, skating really, really well.
By the way, tip of the hat to Warren Fogle tonight for that early hit on Drew Doughty, too. We never mentioned that in either of our first two segments, but I thought that mattered early in the game. Darnell Nurse then stepped up, I think, on the same shift through a big hit as well there. So, and by the way, how about Mikey Anderson getting absolutely walked in three shifts, once by Draisaitl and once by McDavid? I mean, he saved himself on the Draisaitl one, but that was welcome to round one against the Edmonton Oilers again for Mikey Anderson there.
Another funny comment I just remembered. Ian Mack, he put this in much earlier in the stream. He said, I traditionally have a beer per goal, so good night, folks. He said that about quite a bit earlier in the stream. So nice. He can listen to this, enjoy that when he listens to it tomorrow. Shane Matheson said, Janmark on the 1PK block shot, tip pass, roughing it up with Kopitar. Love his game. We gave some love to the PK earlier, but specifically, yeah. What did you think of Janmark's game?
Yeah. Good, Struds. Like, steady, steady, steady. And that's why I was having so much trouble figuring out how to get Holloway in the lineup, because it was like, I couldn't really conceptualize taking Janmark out for all of those reasons. In the end, it ends up being Connor Brown. But Janmark justified his place in that lineup tonight ahead of Connor Brown to me.
Stick and body always often, most often in the right place. And that is a coach's dream, because you don't have to be fast. You just have to be smart to be in the right place. And he showed it tonight.
Two more, Zuby, then we'll wrap it up with our play of the day.
Do you think there might be any supplemental discipline for the Trevor Moore hit on Vinny?
They find guys in the playoff, Struds? Trying to recall. They're not making money. Can they still find him in the playoffs?
I think they do, but I might be wrong. Yeah. But I know Brownie thinks it is. I don't think it will be. I think that he'll suffer enough knowing it was just a dumb penalty to take.
Oh, shit. We forgot to talk about the waved off goal. Struds, quickly, what did you think?
Yeah, I think it was the right call. I do. I feel it. Yeah.
Damn, we missed a chance, because I think Brownie thought it should have been a goal.
Yeah.
So we missed a chance to argue with him about that. Zuby, what do you think?
I thought it was no goal. I think, I don't know, if your stick's in there, I'm not sure what the rule is, but it looked like he tried to direct it. I don't know if he was trying to use his hand. I think he was trying to get a stick on it, but it looked like, to me, he intentionally directed the puck with his glove.
Yeah, I was okay with the call, but I don't know that he intentionally did it. I think that stick was on its way down anyways, and it hit his glove and ended up going in. So I get why they made the call, but I don't blame the other side for kind of, you know. And do we really know it didn't hit the butt end of his stick? Do we really know that?
No. And I suppose I should walk that back. I don't think he intentionally hit it with his glove. I think he was trying to hit the, you know, he hit it with his glove in the process of what he was intending to get the puck, but he got it with his glove. So I don't know the rule well enough, but it seemed to me, I thought it was no goal.
All right. What else you got, buddy? We'll wrap.
Okay, quick ones. Let's go to this one. Gabriella wants to know who you think starts in goal. Brownie touched on this. Who's going to start in goal for the Kings in game two?
Historically, I have much less faith in Big Save Dave than most. So I would go back with Talbot.
Yeah, that was the Oiler fan was relentless tonight on that one for sure. Any more, Zuby, or are we
this
good?
Was the last one. I think we talked I think Strutty, you talked quite a bit leading up to the game about that the Oilers need to play low event hockey to beat the Kings, but I don't think this was a low event game. So is it even though the Oilers won it, is this a game they want to repeat?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and when I talk about low event, I'm talking about it specifically like the first goal against that Hyman brings the puck up high in the offensive zone, and there's really nowhere out. Just throw it down below the goal line. Let's just reset and go and get it. Watch Corey Perry. He has got that down to a T. There's no reason to make that play. So, you know, he gifted that goal to Hyman. I know it was right off it, but it was about 10 seconds earlier. So that's the low event. Just keep the puck down low. You don't need to give these guys a chance to transition at all.
All right. That was Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House. It is almost 2 a.m. and we still have like 300 people plus watching us live. And that's just on YouTube. Never mind what's going on over on Twitter. So a huge thanks to you. Our play of the day brought to you by Play Alberta. When the Oilers play, they play with odds boosts. Get better odds on the games and teams you care about the most. Official gaming partner of the Edmonton Oilers is Play Alberta. Deposit today and get a $50 free bet with the code GYB50. Visit playalberta.ca and please play responsibly. Strutty, what are we going with for the play of the day tonight, my man?
I was sitting beside my dad. Obviously, I took him to the game, and then Sean Brown and his wife were beside me. Everyone was started throwing hats when the hat trick went in, except for the guy in front of us. So after about 4 or 5 minutes, Sean Brown taps him on the shoulder, said, "Hey, bud, throw your hat." The guy like gives us the wave off. He's like, "Hey, man, throw your hat." He gives him the wave off again. So Brownie just kind of backs off. And I actually felt bad because, you know, I don't think the guy threw his hat. I think underneath that hat, not a lot of hair. So I give it credit to Brownie for challenging someone to throw it. But I understand why the guy, because if I would have thrown, I got lots of hair. His buddy threw it. He had lots of hair, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. But tapping someone to ask them to throw their hat, I've never seen before.
Gordon Pachewski says, best Oiler podcast, hands down, worth the wait, boys. Yeah, it is a late one tonight. Struds, I'm just going to quickly submit one more submission for play of the day. You can tell me if I get it or not. Oiler media room tonight. Had a nice meal. Decided to treat myself, because I had a good heart elliptical workout today, to a little ice cream dessert. Now, I didn't just go get ice cream and drop some caramel sauce on it like everybody else. I didn't just drop some strawberry onto the vanilla like everybody else. Here's what I did. Here was my play of the day, brought to you by Play Alberta. Vanilla ice cream cup. A few of the candy sprinkles. Went and got a glass of root beer and poured the root beer into the vanilla cup. I made myself a root beer float. And slowly but surely just emptied a little bit more root beer into the vanilla cup the whole time. I can't wait for game two. That's how good it was. I can't stop thinking about my root beer float pregame. It was the play of the day, fellas, by a mile.
I'm going to be honest. I stopped listening after you said a good hard workout on the elliptical. I've never seen that. Is that like Puff the Magic Dragon or?
I had to watch it on the Ray and Dregs record this morning. That feels like 3 days ago. Oh my gosh.
I was on the Ray and Dregs record this morning on the elliptical. Hey man, I'm committed. You know, I'm not going to let work get in the way of my elliptical workouts.
Sure. Yeah. But
I can't believe I can't believe my vanilla root beer didn't get any more love. All you chose to do was make fun of me. It was great. I'll send
you.
If
I was 9 years old, I would have loved it.
Yeah, that's what Gregor said. I feel like I'm at dinner with my 12-year-old, I think he said, or something like that. Anyways, let's wrap. It is ridiculously late. Struds, you're on the ice in like a couple hours. Great job tonight, buddy. Thanks for the late shift.
Yeah, 4.5 hours. See you guys on the ice. Come and meet me.
You're going to be a peach tomorrow. Bring your damn Ryan Reynolds glasses next podcast, too.
The people. Oh, yeah, lots of people asking about that.
Yeah, tons and tons. Sherry Frazzy, we love you, too. Absolutely love GYB. She wraps up the podcast with tonight. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks to Sherwood Buick GMC. We'll chat after game two, folks. Enjoy it for a couple of days. 1-0 series lead. That never happens.
We went right through it, so I'm playing the one with the lyrics here to get us out.
Oh, that's a good end. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, let it ride for a minute, Zuby, and then wrap us up.
All right.
Everybody want what we got. Living so good like Viva. Grin so big we cheesing. Yeah, we dreamers and we dreaming.